think about those figures, often women who've dedicated their whole lives to service, you know, often quietly shaping our communities.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about nuns today. And, well, they've always been part of the American story, but that story is definitely changing.
It really is.
So today we're doing a deep dive into one specific group, the Sisters of St. Francis of Philadelphia.
Yeah, and we're basing this on an interesting article from Christian Culture News. It's called The Vanishing Nuns, the Sisters of St. Francis of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And our mission, really, is to unpack their journey, look at their history, what people call their golden age, understand why numbers are declining now.
Right.
See how they're adapting, and also, you know, appreciate the impact they've had.
So kind of the whole arc, a comprehensive look, but hopefully digestible.
Exactly. Trying to get a real feel for this one community's evolution.
Okay, let's start right at the beginning then.
Yeah.
These Sisters of St. Francis of Philadelphia, they weren't founded here originally, were they?
No, that's right. It actually started back in 1855 with Mother Frances Bachmann. She came over from Germany.
From Germany. Okay.
Yeah, and she saw a real need specifically for the spiritual and educational support of the immigrant communities growing in the U.S. at that time.
Makes sense.
And drawing inspiration from St. Francis of Assisi, the order built itself around these core values, things like humility, simplicity, and a real dedication to service.
And it sounds like they put that into action pretty quickly, a school in 1855, right away.
They did. Got straight to work.
Hmm.
But it wasn't solely education, although that was a major early focus.
What else were they involved in?
Well, their outreach grew quite a bit. They expanded into healthcare, often stepping into places where medical services were really lacking, especially in underserved communities.
So nursing, social work, that kind of thing.
Exactly. By the end of the 19th century, that was a big part of their ministry.
Mm.
And what's really striking, I think, is how those core values you mentioned, compassion, social justice, even care for the environment, they've kind of been the constant thread.
Guiding them through different eras.
Right. Even as they had to adapt over, you know, well over a century and a half now.
Now, the article mentions this golden age for Catholic religious life, specifically around the mid-20th century. The Sisters of St. Francis were part of this flourishing.
Oh, absolutely. That period, say post-World War II up through the early 60s, saw a huge surge in people entering religious life across the board.
Why do you think that was? Just a general call to service feeling?
Well, partly that, but it also tied into the broader societal context. You know, there was a strong emphasis on community, traditional values,
mm-hmm.
and Catholic institutions, schools, hospitals. They were really central hubs in many neighborhoods and towns.
So becoming a nun or a priest was seen as a very respected, very visible way to contribute.
Very much so. It was an impactful path for women, especially at that time.
And the Sisters of St. Francis, their work really expanded during this time. Schools, hospitals.
Oh, extensively. Schools, hospitals, orphanages. Their ministries were incredibly widespread. They became really trusted figures within the communities they served.
You can imagine the respect they commanded.
Absolutely. They were woven into the fabric of daily life for so many families. Their presence meant care. It meant compassion. It's hard to overstate their importance back then.
But as the article title suggests, things have shifted. The vanishing nuns. We're seeing a decline now. What are the big reasons behind that? The article mentions secularization first.
Yeah, secularization is a major factor. It basically means religion has, well, less influence on public life and maybe on individual choices than it used to.
So people finding meaning elsewhere.
Right, or questioning traditional religious structures more. Individualism plays a role too. Mm-hmm. So for a life commitment like becoming a nun, that societal shift makes recruitment, let's say, more challenging.
And then there's the massive shift in gender roles. That must be huge.
Oh, absolutely critical. You look at the second half of the 20th century, the rise of feminism, the explosion of educational and professional opportunities for women.
Right. Completely different landscape.
Completely. Yeah. So the traditional path of religious life, which involves, you know, commitments like celibacy, community living, it understandably became less of the default or even appealing path for many women who now had all these other avenues opening up.
Pursuing careers, independence, things that weren't as widely available before.
Precisely. The possibilities just broadened dramatically. So dedicating your life's souls to religious service, while still a valid choice for some, wasn't the only or maybe even the most obvious path for service-minded women anymore.
So the cultural emphasis changed. Towards leadership roles in other fields, maybe?
Yeah, towards higher education, active roles in the workforce, politics, you name it. And this created, well, significant headwinds for religious orders trying to attract new members. The Sisters of St. Francis definitely felt this too.
The article also flags the Second Vatican Council, Vatican II, in the 1960s as a really key moment. How did that impact things for the sisters?
Vatican II was massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, a real turning point. It basically kicked off this period of intense reevaluation within the whole Catholic Church.
Okay.
Religious orders, including the Sisters of St. Francis, were prompted, really encouraged, to rethink their mission and how they engaged with the, well, the modern world.
So less separation, more involvement.
Exactly. A definite shift away from a more maybe cloistered or semi-cloistered life towards much greater engagement in social issues, education, healthcare, being in the world.
More active presence in the community.
Precisely. Much more emphasis on community engagement. And the council also stressed that holiness wasn't just for priests and nuns. It was a call for everyone in the church.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, documents like Lumen Gentium, which translates to the light of the nations, really spurred this. Many sisters undertook further education, re-examined their specific roles, looked at how to address societal problems more directly.
And did it change the internal structure, too?
Yeah, there's also a move towards more collaborative, maybe more egalitarian structures within the communities themselves. Less rigidly hierarchical, perhaps.
Okay, so with all these changes, societal shifts, Vatican II, what does the picture look like for the Sisters of St. Francis today, demographically?
Well, the current numbers really paint that picture. The average age for the sisters now is around 80.
Wow, 80.
Yeah, so it highlights that aging trend very clearly. And their active membership numbers, they're down significantly. From a peak that was well over 1,000, they're now at about 150 active members.
That's a huge drop.
It is.
Yeah.
And naturally, that kind of reduction impacts everything, their daily operations, their ability to sustain the same scale of ministry they once had.
That definitely brings up questions about the future, doesn't it? How do you keep the mission going with fewer and older members?
It does. And that's where their adaptation comes in, which the article discusses. They're not just, you know, winding down. One key thing they're doing is building partnerships
with other groups.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Collaborating with local organizations that are already working on issues they care deeply about: food security, housing support, education initiatives, things like that.
So leveraging resources instead of trying to do it all themselves.
Precisely. It allows them to contribute their wisdom and support to existing efforts, extending their reach even with smaller numbers.
Yeah.
And interestingly, they're also embracing modern outreach.
Like technology.
Yeah. Social media, digital platforms, trying to connect with younger generations, share their story, raise awareness in ways that resonate today.
That shows real adaptability for such a long-standing order.
It does. And alongside that, their commitment to social justice is still front and center.
Still a core driver.
Absolutely. Advocating for marginalized groups, tackling systemic issues, that core value is very much alive and kicking.
The article shares some personal stories too, doesn't it? To give a sense of the individuals.
Yes. And they're really powerful. You have Sister Agnes, for example, reflecting on decades of service in schools and hospitals. You really feel that deep, lifelong sense of calling.
That enduring purpose.
Right. And then there's a newer member mentioned, Sister Maria, whose passion is clearly social justice. Her story kind of highlights how the order is adapting, attracting people who connect with those core values in today's context.
And the community aspect must be vital for them, especially through these changes.
Oh, definitely. The article emphasizes how those community bonds provide crucial support as they navigate all this.
When you look back at their whole history, their impact seems undeniable. Education, for instance.
Huge. Yeah. The sheer number of schools they founded or staffed, the focus not just on academics, but on, you know, moral development, it's a massive legacy.
And healthcare, too.
Equally significant. Finding hospitals, clinics, often in places that desperately needed them. And their approach was often quite holistic, looking at the whole person.
Right. And that consistent thread of social justice advocacy we mentioned.
Yes. Championing the marginalized,
yeah.
Speaking out on difficult issues. Their influence really has touched countless lives and continues to shape communities today.
So looking ahead, the challenge of declining numbers is real, no doubt. But the article doesn't sound entirely pessimistic.
No, there's definitely a sense of resilience. The commitment to the mission is still incredibly strong. And there are ideas for the future being explored.
Like what?
Well, intergenerational engagement seems key. Finding ways to bridge the gap, connect the wisdom of the older sisters with the energy of younger people, maybe not just potential new members, but lay partners too.
expanding the definition of community.
Perhaps. And further partnerships, maybe even more collaboration with secular organizations that share similar goals, and continuing to use technology smartly to broaden their reach, share their values.
So honoring the legacy while finding new ways to live it out.
Exactly. It's about continuous adaptation, really. Staying true to the core while evolving the methods.
Okay, so let's just quickly recap. We've traced the Sisters of St. Francis of Philadelphia from their founding by German immigrants.
Mm-hmm. Focusing on serving those early communities.
Through that mid-century golden age where they flourished.
To facing the big societal shifts, secularization, changing women's roles.
The impact of Vatican II pushing them towards more engagement.
The current reality of aging demographics and smaller numbers.
And importantly, how they're adapting now through partnerships, new outreach, and that unwavering focus on social justice.
It's quite a story. And it leaves you thinking, doesn't it, about how service and community themselves are evolving in our world today.
Yeah. How does an institution with such deep roots stay relevant and impactful when everything around it is changing so fast?
Exactly. It really makes you consider the enduring importance of those values they've always stood for: education, healthcare, social justice. How will those values continue to find expression? Maybe in forms we haven't even fully seen yet.
A lot to think about there.